Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many times have you heard this? How can there be a God when there's such violence and terrible things in the world? How can there be a God? Even we who believe in God oftentimes look up and say, why? Why the evil? Why the terrible things that happen in life? How long, O Lord, do we have to deal with the evils of this world? I say that every time I look on the TV and the news comes into my living room of the children of Aleppo, and I see their suffering, and I look up and I say, how long, O Lord? I echo the complaint of the prophet Habakkuk. How long, O Lord, must I speak to you and say violence? And it's as if you don't hear. In Habakkuk's life, he saw violence all around him. His little city-state of Judah was under constant attack. And if that wasn't bad enough, the people who were set to rule Judah, who were supposed to rule in equity, who knew the commandments of God, had subverted justice. And people who were good, people who followed the rules, were getting oppressed. And people who were wicked seemed to be having a very good life. And Habakkuk, who was supposed to be the mouthpiece of God, said, before you speak, Lord, I'm going to speak. And I want to ask you a question. Now, usually when we look at the prophets, there's always a backstory. We know something about their lives. We know something about their homes or who their fathers were or mothers. There's nothing about Habakkuk. And I think that's for a reason, because Habakkuk is the cry of every person. For the last millennia, 2 or 3 millennia, we've had the same cry, why? So Habakkuk wants to take God to task. And he said, God, I want to know why. And I want to know how long. And he said, I'm going to stand on the watchtower. And I want God to answer me. And the Bible says God did. God spoke to him. And God said, I want you to write the vision. And I want you to put it up on a billboard, so that even runners can go by and see it. And when I've read that, I said, okay, what's the vision? And he said, hold on a minute. It's going to take its time to get here. It'll be here, but you'll have to wait for it. But then he said something so very wonderful about how we wait until we see God's hand at work. What does he say? The righteous live by their faith. Now, that doesn't just mean the righteous live because they have faith in God and we have to hold on to faith in God. What it means is the righteous continue to be faithful, to live in their integrity, to do the things that are important, the things that we know reflect the love and mercy of God. It's not a passive thing. It's not just sitting around waiting for God to act. It's being faithful in our lives. The just, the righteous shall live by being faithful. He said, I want you to tell your people that they need to stay faithful no matter what. I think of the people of South Africa and their oppression under apartheid. Do you know that in the 60s, when I was a kid in elementary school, they had assemblies? You remember assemblies where everybody get together and they'd sing songs? One of the songs we sang, one of the marches to come in to the auditorium was, "We're Marching to Pretoria." We didn't know in the 60s, But then, as word came about the terrible oppression of the people of South Africa, in the 80s, one of my pastor friends came and preached at my church, and he preached about South Africa because there were many Moravian churches there. And he talked about our Moravian brothers and sisters in South Africa, and he met a young man who said, "Oh, I'm out of jail for probably about a week, and then I'll be back in." This man was horrified. He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, in our country, they can hold us for up to a year without charging us, without giving any explanation. So anyone who spoke out against the injustices of that nation would be jailed for a year, let out for a few days, and then rounded up again." How long, O Lord? Soon after that talk, I went to a wonderful play called Sarafina, and it was put on by South African people in New York City. And they sang songs of hope, and the very last song they sang was, "Freedom will come tomorrow." And we got in our car and we said, "It's not going to happen. There's too much oppression in that country. It's just not going to happen." And then a decade later, Mandela came here a free man. The vision awaits its time. It will happen. All the evil systems of the world have their little day, but God still rules. And it's up to the people of God to be faithful. And we know that the Christian church in South Africa was faithful. And they stood up for justice, and they were faithful in their proclamations. And this is what we have to be. There are things that we cannot control, not only in our world, but even in our own family. Sometimes there's chaos and bedlam right in our own family systems. And we look up to heaven when we're dealing with a wayward child or a wayward husband or a wayward wife or any kind of ideas, and we say, "How long?" And God reminds us to stay faithful and to keep our own integrity and to walk in the way we know to walk until that time that the vision becomes reality. This is how we live. We live in the here and now and the not yet. And God says, as we live in those times, we live in faithfulness. So I challenge us this day. When tomorrow comes and we put on the burdens of whatever tomorrow brings, the just, the righteous, the people who take God seriously live by being faithful. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would remind us of your faithfulness to us, and I ask that you help us to sing as the Apostle Paul did, that we know whom we have trusted, and we are absolutely convinced that you will keep us in your faithfulness. We ask that you give us courage and wisdom and strength to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.